The word today is sin. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. After the people of Israel escaped from slavery in Egypt, God gave them a list of rules summarized by the Ten Commandments. These commandments apply to us today. But they don't just tell us what not to do. They also help us to know what we are to do. Here from our archives with more about these commands is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Sin.
The thought struck me the other day that we so often during these broadcasts talk about the Word of God. And I'm assuming, obviously, that all of our listeners know that I'm talking about the Holy Bible. The Bible that God has given us has two major portions. We call the first part the Old Testament. And usually, in most of the translations, you will find the different prophets. First of all, you'll start with the book of Genesis in the Old Testament, the creation of the world and how God made everything and brought it into being. And then, as it moves on through the history of the Old Testament people, you'll see the various prophets coming and the messages that the prophets brought. Usually, if something was going wrong, let's say like the people of God were falling in love with the fake idols and the false gods of the people that they were living around, and as a result, God would need to bring them back into some type of a repentance, and he would send a prophet and warn them, you better watch out, God is not pleased with the way you're living, and God does not like the fact that you're worshiping false gods. He wants you to repent and come back to him, and that prophet would proclaim and preach, I guess is the best word you could say. And the people, sometimes they would listen and repent, and there would be peace again. And sometimes they'd keep right on rebelling, and they'd need another prophet to come. It wasn't unusual at all for God to send two prophets at one time, for instance, with the same message. And as you read through the Old Testament, you see all these warnings, and yet during every warning, during every call to repentance, there would always be yet a promise of God's mercy and his forgiveness. If you will repent and return to me, I will bless you. I will forgive you. So God never forgot about that remnant of the people who always remained faithful. They always stayed close to the Lord. There could be a majority of them sometimes that would rebel and try to get away from God, so to speak. And yet that remnant would always be there and would always be saved. And so you have the Old Testament, then you have the New Testament. Some people talk about the Old Testament as history, primarily, the people of God, the Jewish people, and the history of their lives through those decades and centuries. And then you get to the New Testament, beginning with the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four gospel writers. It's almost as if they were different newspaper men writing to different audiences or different cities. It's almost as if they were following along. Some would report a certain miracle and others would not. It seems like two or three of them enjoyed that miracle and they would all report on it. So you have different points of view and different opinions and different statements. And I believe to get a true, total picture of Christ's early ministry, his teaching and his preaching and the miracles that he did, you almost have to read all four of the gospel writers together. There are books available which will take the words from each of the gospels and correlate them in a way that you can read it as one reading, as though you're reading all four of them simultaneously. That's a good idea to get a total, overall, good picture of it. Now, within the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are two basic, very fundamental laws, and they are the law of God, which talks about his Ten Commandments. That would be an excellent illustration to define law, what God says we should do and what we should not do. You will see that in the 20th chapter of Exodus, that God lists those 10 commandments. And the important thing for us to realize is that he wants us not only to do certain things that are pleasing to him, but to avoid those things that he tells us not to do, to not curse or swear, to not lie against our neighbor, to not show a lack of love, to disregard our fellow people's properties and things like that. The law of God is a holy written law for us people to follow. Now, the result of our disobedience and fall into sin, the devil has trapped us into sin. You know how that works. And as a result, we are even born with a sinful human nature. We don't come into this world as a wonderful, sweet, little, honest, perfect little being. We come as a sinful human being. We come as a result of being born by sinful parents. The whole human race has been born this way, and as a result, this sinful nature remains in our hearts. We have, even those of us who have been Christians for many decades even, still have within our heart a sinful desire that Satan uses to tempt us, to get us away from God, to give us to fall away, and so on. This is part of the law of God, the sinful nature, and we cannot keep that law perfectly. As a result, we call that sin, and we call that sin the need for salvation. We cannot save ourselves. Now, thank goodness there's more than just the law in God's word. There's also something called the gospel. The gospel is a word that simply being translated means good news. And the best good news of all is that there is a Savior, that God loves his people. He saw that we had fallen into sin. He knew that the devil was trying to get us away from him. And so he provides a salvation. He said, I will send my own son, and he will die on the cross for the people, so that through him and his perfect obedience to me, his Father, he will have earned the forgiveness of everyone's sin. Everyone who's ever lived is going to have their sins taken away. And if they trust in Jesus, my son, as their personal Savior, they will have forgiveness and they will have eternal life and the gift of life everlasting. That's God's promise. The most fantastic gift of all that anyone could possibly have is to know that we have a Savior and that we can have eternal life by trusting in Jesus to take our sins away. That's the good news. That's the gospel. That's the good news, the good story. There is hope, there is salvation, there is forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Now, we've mentioned the word sin quite a bit. I think most people probably know there are two types of sin. Now, the one I think we talk quite a bit about, and that's not stealing, not lying, not killing, all those things that we should not do. That's part of what sin is. But another type of sin, just as devastating and just as evil, is the sin of omission, where you forget to do, well, maybe it's not only forgetting, but you choose to do something that God doesn't want you to forget. God wants you to remember and he wants you to do it, and yet you don't do it. A good example would be loving our parents. Let's say the fourth commandment. To omit doing that, to say, I will not love my parents, I will not obey my parents, I will not mind them, is a sin. Just as much as committing any other sin is a sin. So when you don't do what God wants you to do, let's say worship him, pray to him, show love toward him, telling others about him, when you fail to do that, that's sin. That's a sin of omission. I think it helps to just remember omit means to leave out. If you omit someone from your list that you're inviting to your birthday party, that means you leave them out. You don't put them in there. To omit a sin, omit a sin, that means something that God wants you to do, like showing love, showing understanding, helping people take care of their property, any type of love that God wants you to do, and you omit it and you say, no, I don't want to do that. I will not do that. That's a sin. So when you pray for forgiveness, I hope you will remember to pray for all sin, not only the sins you commit, but also the sins you omit. Both of them need to have the forgiveness of God. And it's a wonderful thing to know that God has given us forgiveness for all sin, not just parts of them or some of them, but for all sin. So this little review of the law of God, the perfect righteousness of God, which no human being can keep because of our sin, that Christ had to come, who was perfect God and also perfect human. He did not have a human father. God was the Father, God the Holy Spirit, impregnated Mary, and therefore God and man. Jesus was both human and divine. And so through his forgiveness and his obedience, that he didn't have to have forgiveness, through his obedience, he gave to us the gift of eternal life and the certainty that our sins are forgiven. God made him the sacrifice for us so that we could still be saved. And that's the glory of the good news. So keep in mind when you're using God's word, the law, which is a realization that we are guilty and would not be saved if it weren't for Christ, and the gospel, which says, but Christ came and took our place and paid the price for our sin, and through faith in him we now have the gift of eternal life, and that all sin, not only commission but omission, are forgiven and available to all who will call upon Jesus as their Lord and Savior. God loves you. He sent you the Savior as proof, and through his suffering, death, and resurrection, power over death, we now have the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Lord and Savior. May the Word of God be a blessing in your daily life and in your daily devotions.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.